I'm Sam Farber, and I'm getting your reps in. According to an LAUSD school board resolution, more than one in every five African-American students at LAUSD schools has been suspended in 2007. Earlier this week, LAUSD passed another resolution giving themselves 90 days to find solutions to this problem. Rochelle Montgomery is Associate General Counsel for LAUSD. She worked on the resolution, and she spoke with me earlier today about why they implemented it.
Initially, I think there was what you would call, I guess, a confluence of events that occurred. I'm sure you're familiar with the Janus 6 situation and the national attention that brought. For me personally, as an attorney, I have been grappling with for a very long time what appears to be institutionalized injustice or disparate treatment of all sorts of groups of people. And one of my missions as an attorney personally and as an attorney here in this school district is to make sure that the advice I give and the work I do with our board and with our district staff and officials is to make sure that our mission is really about equality in education for all students and compliance with the Constitution, with state and federal laws and the like. And so when the Gina 6 situation arose, I said to myself, I'm not doing enough. There's something wrong here when a school anywhere in this country can have such a climate where students feel free, first of all, to hang a noose around a tree, where the disparity in treatment between the African-American students and the white students at that school was very blatant, where the judicial system in that state seemed to be extremely oppressive and discriminatory in its treatment of the students, from the news accounts that I read and different email accounts and blogs and, you know, just keeping up with all of those things.
As far as the resolution here, what does it do for the Los Angeles schools specifically? Okay. I understand how it makes a statement for what happened
sure.
in Louisiana.
What it does here is, first of all, ask our board to challenge other school districts just to take the stand that any school district should be an advocate for equal education. That's the first thing. The second thing is that our board and our district should recognize that we, as the nation's second largest school district, should be out there and visible being advocates for equal justice, for social justice and civil rights for all students. And then third, in order to put some teeth into this and to model the action that we're asking other districts to take, we shine a light on ourselves and ask our superintendent and staff and board to look at whatever practices we have or whatever programs we have that may lead to or have led to the disparate treatment of students. In the resolution, I'm sure if you have it, you see that there are certain statistics.
Yeah, I was actually going to say our school districts might not be the most shining light. It says that of the 80,000, roughly 80,000 African-American students enrolled in the district, one in five has been suspended, which is the highest ethnic group suspended compared to all other ethnic groups in the district. And close to 16% or a little over 16% are in special education programs, mm-hmm. whereas for all students, it's much lower than that. And
exactly.
African-American students are only 11% of the overall school population. So
right.
Does LAUSD really want that light shone on it?
That's what we're asking in this resolution, is to shine the light and to begin to honestly examine what it is that's causing these disparities and how we can correct it. The resolution itself was a compilation of thought and concern from a lot of different stakeholder groups, parents, educators, higher educators, students, community activists, employees of the district, just a number of stakeholders contributed to the thought behind the resolution. And we are all willing to take a step and honestly examine and start having these conversations. You can't examine anything until you put the honest conversation on the table. And so the first thing we had to do was to bring forth the statistics. And these statistics are readily available anywhere. Some of these statistics were pulled from the California Department of Education website. The statistics are what they are. And it is incredible for some of us to think that many of these issues have been addressed before. And for some reason, we still have these statistics that indicate that not much change has occurred where it needs to occur.
You've given the board at the end of this resolution 90 days to take action on it and identify the areas that you can implement to implement the mandate set forth in this resolution, so to fix mm-hmm. fix the problems, basically. What do you expect to see in 90 days?
Well, I don't think the resolution calls for a fix in 90 days. I think what it calls for is a report back to the board to show what plan or plans are in place to address and remediate these issues. There are already a lot of plans in place. I know because I've helped to work on some of them. And some of these need to be implemented with more resources. Some of these need to be implemented on a broader scale. Maybe there are things that people have not yet thought of that can be used to implement some of the mandates that are brought forth. And so what we're really trying to do, I believe, is to create a way in which comprehensively people in the district, with the support of people outside of the district, can really honestly examine issues such as disparity in discipline, disparity in special education, low academic achievement, and really brainstorm and come up with viable ways to address these issues and bring it back to the board in public so that the public can see what we're doing to address these issues. I do have to say that with regard to discipline, for example, last year the board passed a historic policy called the Discipline Foundation Policy. And what that policy calls for is an attitude with district officials, administrators, teachers, parents, everyone, that says rather than look at discipline in a reactionary fashion, we're going to first approach a campus and ask, what's the best climate that we can portray for students coming to this campus? How can we model the behavior that we're expecting of our own kids? What are the expectations that we have with regard to treating each other certain ways? And so this Discipline Foundation policy addresses that and makes that a focus or the primary focus before you even start to talk about suspensions and expulsions and the like. That was a major, major move for not only this district, but that policy is being looked at by other districts and by national committees that are advising Congress and the Senate on education reform.
Just a real quick answer from you. Is it possible to get these numbers down, do you think?
Of course. Of course. I understand that there are some districts, much smaller districts, for example, near the desert, one in Indian Wells, for example, where the achievement of African-American students is up in the 900s on the APIs. You know, and so, yes, it is definitely doable. The question is how. And there are experts out there, there are educators out there who are willing to sit down and come to the table. We have right now a proposed program that actually has begun to be implemented, our program for culturally relevant curriculum. And that program is very, very comprehensive and brings a lot to the classroom in terms of cultural relevance, not just for African-American students, but for all students. This is a huge move. And with movements like that, movements like the Discipline Foundation policy, movements such as us being honest and shining a light within, that's how you start the conversation to start to change some of these numbers.
For Annenberg Radio News, I'm Sam Farber, and I'm getting your reps in.